Monday of the fourth week of Easter. First reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. The apostles and the brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers confronted him, saying, "You entered the house of uncircumcised people and ate with them." Peter began and explained it to them step by step, saying, "I was at prayer in the city of Joppa when in a trance I had a vision. Something resembling a large sheet came down, lowered from the sky by its four corners, and it came to me. Looking intently into it, I observed and saw the four-legged animals of the earth, the wild beasts, the reptiles, and the birds of the sky. I also heard a voice say to me, 'Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, sir, because nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, a voice from heaven answered, 'What God has made clean, you are not to call profane.' This happened three times, and then everything was drawn up again into the sky. Just then, three men appeared at the house where we were, who had been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He related to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house saying, 'Send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift he gave to us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to be able to hinder God?" When they heard this, they stopped objecting and glorified God, saying, "God has then granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles too." The word of the Lord. Dear family, in this remarkable conversion of Cornelius, we see how God interacted so personally and so directly, not only with Peter, but also with Cornelius and his family, who were seeking God. And God sent his angel to them and told him to go and seek for Peter. And this is what happened. Now, notice that Peter needed to come to a new understanding, because Jews were not allowed to enter the house of Gentiles. Jews thought that that would contaminate them, that the Jews had to protect their religion from the encroaches of paganism. And so to enter the house, and even worse, to eat with them, would be considered almost idolatrous. And yet God gave this vision to Peter so that he could understand that God was doing something new. Nowadays, Pope Francis is seeking to show us something new from God, a new awareness of mercy, a new vision of how to reach out to families that are broken. And for many, this is very shocking. How can he be doing this? It seems like he might be kind of breaking the rules. And in fact, I believe what is happening is God is intervening to show us even more deeply the meaning of marriage, the sacredness of marriage, and calling many who were outside to come in and live and participate into the mystery. And so also we learn that God wants everyone to be saved. The question that Peter presents when he's finding these objections from the Jews who had become Christians and they were trying to observe circumcision as something essential in the religion is, if God has done this, in other words, this new opening, who am I to object? And we also need to be ready for God to show us new things and not object. Now, some would say, but we have to be really careful because the devil can be fooling us to new things that would really take us away from the real religion. And that is true. That's why we need discernment. It's just as dangerous to close ourselves into the law and not be open to the Spirit than to be open to any spirit and be sidetracked into error. And this is the challenge before us. How do we do this? Well, by praying like Peter was, and by being willing to lay down our lives for the truth and sacrifice as he was. Notice also that when he is questioned, Peter doesn't go into abstract explanations. He witnesses his own testimony of what really happened, of how God intervened. The gospel is from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. My dear family, in this gospel, our Lord Jesus presents two parties. One is the thieves and the robbers, and the other one is himself, the good shepherd. And he challenges the Pharisees to be able to distinguish the difference. Sadly, it was the Pharisees themselves who were the thieves and the robbers. They presented themselves to the sheep with authority, but they were not willing to lay down their lives for them. And so Jesus teaches some of the characteristics of the Good Shepherd. He says that he walks ahead and the sheep follow. There's a relationship of discipleship. So he not only tells them things, he walks ahead of them. He gave his life at the cross. He's inviting us now to take our cross and follow him. We learn by observing Jesus, by receiving his spirit, and being one like him. It's not just an assent to ideas, to doctrines, but it is a way of life. That's why Christianity was called the way. He also tells us that the sheep recognize his voice. You know why? Because this shepherd was always with them, always present. And this is a good lesson for parents. You want your children to recognize your voice? You need to be present to them. You need to be able to immerse yourself into their lives, understand them, feel with them, and then they will learn to recognize your voice. Now, the shepherd can tell them when to go into the sheepfold, when to come out, and he always goes through the sheep gate. Those who go elsewhere, jumping through a fence, they are not the true shepherds, and we have to beware of them. So where is this gate? This gate is the heart of the church. It's the way of Christ that he has established. And yet this way is always something that we have to learn anew. Jesus is teaching us more and more his way of life, his way of understanding things. To recognize his voice is so important that we must every day be at prayer. Every day ponder the Word of God as you're doing right now, so that you learn the way of the Lord, so that in specific situations later you can recognize, oh yes, this is the way of the Lord, because I have learned to be intimate with him, to be listening to him all the time. It's really extraordinary that Jesus says that a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, because no shepherd will do that. Why would a shepherd give his life for the life of a sheep? Well, the shepherd is more important than a sheep, so he's not going to die for a sheep. But Jesus did, because he loves us so much. And this is the great revelation. He not only takes care of a sheep for a utilitarian purpose, he lays down his life for them to save them and to give them life. A hired man would never do that. If trouble comes, they will run away. And so God is inviting us today to be attentive to him, to listen to the voice of the shepherd, to follow him, to allow him to guide us, and to trust that he loves us so much that he gave his life for us.